Okay, whatever we have on the sheet, whatever's left, we'll try to focus on today. Mostly the Rush and a little bit the Shulchan Aruch. This sugya is not over. I just want everyone to realize even what we're doing today has to be supplemented by a later Gemara on Dav Vav. We have another Gemara in between that we're doing, but then we come back to more of the discussion of Chametz Shonafri B'Yad Yisrael. There's a whole other sugya coming up, a very hard sugya that has to do with Yichud Lo Bayis and different ways to understand what the case is, and all of that's going to come back to the issues of Achrayis and No Achrayis and all the discussions that we have today. We'll have to revisit. So for now, we're going to, you know, to close this part of the sugya. We're going to do another Gemara in between and then come back to the sugya of Yichud Lo Bayis that will fill in more about what we're doing today. Okay, so we're going to focus starting on the Rush, and that's in the middle of Simin Dalet, right? Simin Dalet, the Rush, has a lot of different things going back to the sugya of Socher Umashkir, and then the Braisa that we have here on Hayam and Beis, and then the Gemara concludes that if there's a Kabbalah Sachrayis of the part of the Jew who has the chametz of the Nachri, then he could be in violation of by Rabbi Yimatze, and the story brought with Rava and the B'nai Machuza. Okay, so here the Rush steps in and brings a range of shitas regarding the specific type of achrayis that puts the Jew in violation of by Rabbi Yimatze. The Gemara doesn't really say specifically much, except that in the case of Rava, the Rava identified to the B'nai Machuza the fact that if it's stolen or lost, you will be achroi and it's bishu saichu. So how literally should we take that? And what about if it would be an achrayis of something less than Gneva Vaveda, namely the equivalent of a shomachina? We all know that the different shomim have different standards of what makes them chayiv. A shomachina is chayiv on pshia. These are straight psukim and chumash and mishnayis, as you know. Bamitzia and Shavuos, a shomachinam is chayiv amshia, and that's it. Of course, shichas yad, but we're not discussing shichas yad right now. The liability for pshia, for gneva v'aveda, and certainly for ones, the shomachinam is pater. We have the shomesachar, who's also liable for gneva v'aveda, not just for pshia, but he's pater on onsin. And then we have a shoel who's chayiv even on onsin. Question is, what is the level of achrayis that's needed to put a Jew in violation by Rabbi Mabse if he has in his rishus chemso shel nachri? Says the Rush the following. Yesh omrim, everyone see in the middle of the Rush where he starts discussing this issue. Yesh omrim dafka shomesachar the chay b'gneva v'aveda avo shomachinam lo. So this shita holds that only the standard of shomesachar and not less than that, not the standard of shomachinam, would make the Jew in violation by Rabbi Matze. Where do you get that from? The lashon Gemara, the daikina milishna. The lashon of Rava was the ilu mignev o mitvid. So the lashon of Gemara sounds like bedafka. That's the level of achrayis that has to be accepted by the Jew, by the nifkat. The level of Gneva Vaveda. Okay, now we have to see more about this. Why not Shia? But meanwhile, there's another Shita. The other Shita is the Bahag. Ubahag Kasav, Dafilu Shomachina Nami. Even if all that the Yisrael was Mekaba was the Shmira Vashomachinam, that would also put him in violation by Rabbi Matzah. I the Lashna Gemara with Rava with Mignav Mitvad, or Mignav Mitvad the Pshia Kamar. That means to say, if it's stolen or lost, based on your Pshia, you caused that to happen. That's what Rava meant, because you don't need more than that. You don't need more than that. Mishum de Baila Memar, but Issa Lashume, Hutzach Lomar, Mignav Mitvad. Why does he talk about the fact that it was stolen? Just say, if you're Poshea. The answer is, being Poshea alone is not Mechayiv you if nothing happens as a result of the Pshia. So Rava says, if it's stolen or lost, meaning even if it was only through Pshia, if it was through Pshia, and that's maybe the only thing that's Mechayiv you, Knei Maveda not through Pshia would be Mechayiv you, but he has to talk about this, the thing that happened, which is why there's a loss, and therefore you have to pay for the loss. So Rava says, Mignav Mitvad, because of the fact that it's going to mean that you have to pay because something happened. But what was it that caused the gneva v'aveda? Could be, if it wasn't a pshia, you wouldn't be chayiv. But it's simply the fact that your pshia is machayiv you is enough to make you a farlesh by my matzah. Yeah, that's the ashita that holds pshia is enough, and the lashna gemara would mean alidei pshia. The Ritva also brings such a possible shita that pshia is enough, but the Ritva says that the reason why Rabba says gneva v'aveda because ma'aseh shehaya kachaya. The fact remains that the bnei mechuzah's achrayis, their achrayis was gneva v'aveda. They assumed a higher level of achrayis, but it doesn't mean that if the achrayis that was assumed was just for pshia like a shomachinam, it wouldn't make you chayiv. So it's another reason why it's not a raya from the Gemara. So we have a shaila whether the Gemara's lashon would be indicative of the shita that the Rush quotes of the Ri, that only gneiv v'aveda, such a level achrayis would be mechayiv, like the lashon Gemara, it's only that, and if it was pshia alone, it wouldn't make you chayiv. Or the lashon Gemara can finesse, because either the Gemara means, like the Rush has it, according to the Bahag, that the gneiv v'aveda resulted from a pshia, or because the maisa was, they were mekabel gnei v'aveda, but if they weren't mekabel just pshia, it was, it would have been enough. Those are the two shitas of the Rush. And then we have a third shita. The Rush does not quote, but this is in Shulte Giborim that you probably saw, and it's really a tosis in, also in Baba Metzia, I believe it's on Pei Beis, in Baba Metzia, that Tosa says it b'shem Rashi, but the emesis that we'll see later on the Amud, the Rishonim assume b'das Rashi later on the Amud that Rashi holds like the Bahag, that even Pshia is Mechayiv, but the Shita that Tosa quotes and what the Shulte Gibram quotes is that you have to have total achrayis for all situations, including onus. So we have really three Shitas so far in what the Kabbalah's achrayis was. One Shita is the achrayis was for all situations, that is why it's considered bishuscha for bayirai matzeh, you're makabo, no matter what happens, you're responsible. Then we have the sheet in the middle that you don't need to makabo for onsen. As long as there are situations like gneiv v'aveda that you'd be liable for, that would be enough to make you chayiv and bayirai matzeh. And the other sheet, which is even the standard of shamachinam, is enough to make you bayirai matzeh. Let's try to understand it. The Rush doesn't give us much to work with. What's exactly the nature of this machlokas? What's underneath this machlokas? And then we have soon the Rambam coming up, which is a whole other dimension to this issue. But for now, we're just focusing on these three shitas.
Ready? So,
yeah, questions. Who's speaking?
Yaakov.
Yaakov, go. Yeah.
Of the Shomer Shachar, is that where he actively like is mekabel achrayis, like he says, I want to receive it, or just like the chiyuv that he has is it as if he was mekabel?
So let's mention it briefly now. The truth is, it's going to come up in Rishonim, and you'll see in the Mishnah Berurah if we get to it. Does the Kabbalah Sachrayis have to be explicit, or can it be implicit? When you take it, can we assume there's already a certain level of Kabbalah Sachrayis? That's a whole discussion. There are Rishonim later on the Gemara, and Davav further on, when we're going to get to the other part of the Gemara, that assume that the Kabbalah of a Shomachinam doesn't need to be specifically stated. It's understood. You don't have to say, I'm a Kabbal. It's understood. If you have it, you're by definition at least a Shomachinam. But for Gnev Vaveda, that would have to be indicated. You have to say, you could argue if you're getting paid, it's understood, but it could be you have to state it. The other question that comes up is whether you need a kinyan, and that's another sugyas in the Gemara elsewhere. Also, exactly what has to happen in order for you to have to assume that achrayis. What makes this issue even more, a little bit more sticky is the fact that you're dealing with a non-Jew. So here, kinyanim, what makes you automatically mechuyev to the guy's chametz? So this already is brought. I mean, the Rishonim already deal with it later on Davav, but the Mishnah Berurah, right in the beginning of Simon Tuf Mem, already brings on this issue, just to, once you brought it up. So the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, I know we're a little bit ahead of ourselves, but this is a very complicated Simon Tuf Mem. So the way it starts, these shitas are mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. This is the first sif, if you have it. This is Din Chametzo Shoen Yehudi Shehufkad Eitzo Yisrael. Right, this is the Simon. Sif Aleph, Ein Yehudi Shehifkid Chametzo Eitzo Yisrael. So here's the first shita. Im uchay b'achriyusa migneva v'aveda, then Benchu Beveso, Benchu Bechombakabishin, so wherever it might be, Chayiv Leva'aro. The Israel has to destroy it. Because he's Makabu Achrais. What did the Machabe say so far? Imchayiv Bechriyusa Megneva Va'aveda. Then, the Yesh Omen says the Machaber, Shafilu Eno Alav Ela Shomachinam Shechayev Bipsia, Chayev Levara. That's the Shita of the Bahad. Then he goes on and brings what the Rambam says, which is we haven't yet seen in the Rush, and he brings Cholkim on the Rambam. The Rambam has a new Chidush on top of that. So these are the two Shitas quoted. Says the Mishnah Bura, Sif Katan Aleph. So he says, how do we know this? Because we learn out, lo yimatzeh, even if it's not yours with Gamri, lo yimatzeh is marbe, even this case of Kabbalah Sachrayis. Miyu, al kol panim, mayri kishikibol av achrayis, the ashachshadeh kra kishelo ayidei zeh. Oh, and then he says in Sivkatan Beis, chayi b'achriyuso, mayri shikibol av achrayis behedya. You had to have been the Kabbal Achrayis explicitly. The Kanu Miyado. There had to be a Kenyan. Why? The Ilav Hachi Ein Din Shomrin La'akum. Without a Kenyan, you can't become a Shomer for a non-Jew. Kidemivur Bechoshe Mishpat Simen Shin Aleph Sif Aleph Siv Dalet. Then he goes on, he says, oh, that's normally in a situation between two people, in the non-Jew and the Yehudi and Yehudi, there has to be a Kenyan. The im din ha-malchus, she-mischai ba-achrayis afilu b'stama. Let's say the chok ha-medina is that just taking it puts you already in a state of having achrayis. Then, mishah she-nasa shomer, then af belo Kenyan. Havi b'shusa di Yisrael, so that's the issue of Chok HaMalchus. That would be connected to the story that you have with Rav and B'nai Mechuzah. But if it's stand between two people, the any Yehudi and the Yehudi, you'd have to have a Kenyan. But past this, therefore, even if you hold Shalma Chinam, you Mistama would need a Kenyan, right? But by Yisrael and Yisrael, so that's where there are indications that you may not need. You don't need a Kenyan, you may not even have to say anything either, because it's understood. That's to the question of what exactly has to be stated and whether you need a Kenyan or not. But now coming back to this three-way machlokas, only two of the shitas mentioned in the Rush and only two are mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, but we have a third shita as well, that you also need a mekabel achrayis for all situations. So the shita that holds you need a mekabel achrayis for all situations, mistama the pshat is, because you can't just say it's yours because you're mekabel some achrayis. You have to have some full standard that no matter what happens, you are achray. That's considered like it's b'shuscha. I mean, it's not mamish your money, but the fact that, you know, that we explained yesterday, what the halacha of this halacha is predicated on the notion called gorim l'mamon, right? Gorim l'mamon, which might otherwise not be applicable, either because we don't hold it's k'mamon dami like the Chachamim, or because like Rav Shimon, in this case, since it's still here, so you wouldn't necessarily assume it's k'mamon dami, but the Gzeras HaKasav Lo Yimatzeh gives it a cheshivas of mamon, gabi this halacha, which means, as we explained, the Gorim L'mamon is the fact that you have the achrayis, that it's considered to be your loss. Your loss, it's on you that you have to replenish, and it's your responsibility. So it could be the shita that holds you need achrayis for everything means that's called that it's the gorim l'mamon, it's that for whatever might happen, it's considered to be yours. So you can't start breaking it down. It has to be yours for every situation. That would be the shita that holds you need onsen as well. If you hold Gneva Aveda, you don't need onsen. That means that the halacha that it's considered to be yours because some loss will happen, it will be yours, it'll be on your, you'll come out of your pocket. So it doesn't have to mean every situation that could happen. As long as there is some situation, named Gneva Veda, not onus. So that's enough to say that there is a Gorim L'mamon that the Torah views in this case, for Chametz purposes, K'mamon Dami. You don't have to have every case. As long as there's some situation, some situation that could happen that it will become your loss, and it's considered to be like it's yours, the gabi, that Indian. So that's considered to be already kimamundami from Hilchas Ba'ir Rabbi Matzeh. So that's the machokis if you hold has to be onsen as well, or it's enough to have for whatever scenario. But the problem is, if that's true, if you hold like the Shita Gneva Veda without onsen is already enough, so why do you draw the line of Gneva Veda? Why don't you go as far as the Bahag? Why don't you also assume that even if it's equivalent to a Shomachina, and the only thing that would be considered to be in your Rishus, that your Achrai and it's considered Bishuscha, is not for Gneva Veda, it's only for Pshia, if it happens through Pshia. Okay, but let that be enough. Why would you have to assume it has to be the greater level of Gneva Veda, the Achrayis of Shomachina? Why not say it's enough to be the level of Shomachina? That's the question, is why would you require the highest standard of Shomachina? Why not suffice with the Achrayis? If you tell me you need for everything, that's called Bishuscha, no matter what will happen. So then you should go all the way and assume you need Achrayis for Onsen as well. Elamah, you see, it's enough to be considered to be that it could happen that it will be in your Rishus for something, for Gneva Veda. So then why does something have to be Gneva Veda only? Let it even be the fact that if it happens through Pshia, it's also going to be in your Rishus because you have to pay for it. So why wouldn't that be enough? That's the Kshayla. Why do we stop at Gneva Veda? So the answer, the Rishonim addresses again, the Ram Chalava has a statement later on, further on Davav, I'll quote it. The Meiri actually says it over here. They say Bekitzer, but we'll try to explain it a little better. The Ram Chalava's Lashon, further on the Amud, he says, this is again the sugya of Yichud Lobayis, a little further down the Amud, and Davav. Rabbeinu Tam's al Piresh, the Bikadin the Shomer Chinam lo Machayev, says Maram Chalava, the Einze Achrayis, the halacha of a Shomer Chinam being Chayev Bepshia, that's not called Achrayis. The Poshea Maziku. Lashon Maram Chalava, the Poshea Maziku. That which a Shomachinam is liable in the case of Peshia, that's not called Achrayis. That's not called that it's considered to be in his Rishus for that loss that comes about because of his negligence. That which he pays when he's Poshea is Poshea Maziku. Poshea is a Mazik. That's not called that you have Achrayis. You're Mazik. The Lashon HaMe'iri here in our Gemara, where he brings this whole Shaila as well, what is the level of Achrayis? He says, B'toch HaDvarim, he says, Ela she'em chozim v'danim, she'ein din kabolas Achrayis. Okay, this is I'm reading a little before, but I'll get there. Ela bekabal beferus hamidin shum shmira lo she'ena goy bechal din abar shomnim. That's the issue of you have to be bekabal beferus. The ikar hadvarim, he says, she b'shmiras chinam vaday patur she chiyupshia ke'en hezeki. The chiyupshia is ke'en hezek. The en chiyuvo mitoras shmira gmura. Hashomer levaro omitvid. So the Meiri again points out that if it's a chrayis of shomachinam, that's not going to work for Ba'ir Rabbi Matzeh, because chiyup shia kein hezeki. So what does this mean? That which is shomachinam is liable, where he's posheya in the object, is not a halacha per se of shomrim. If what's happening is stemming from the halacha of shomrim, so you say it's in the shomer's resource for that liability, and therefore by Rabbi Matzeh can kick in because it's considered kidulchon dami because of the achrayis of the fact that he's the shomer. If you tell me that the basis for the chiyuv is totally something unrelated to Hilchas Shomrim, to Pasha Shomrim, So then the fact that it was given into the safekeeping of the Shomer, and there'll be a halacha that if he's mazik, he has to pay, that has nothing to do with the fact that it's in the possession of the Shomer for achrayus of that situation. If I'm mazik, I have to pay. That's a separate halacha. It has to, the chiyuv has to come from the shmira. It has to be embedded in the terms, whether it's explicit, not explicit, kinyan, no kinyan, whatever. But it has to be within the framework of that which it was given over to him. And then you could say that even though he doesn't mamish own it, but he has the achrayus, that what will happen, it's because he's a shomer, he has that achrayus. Says the Me'iri, says the Ram Chalava, if it's Gneva Veda, that's a chiyuv mitzad shomer. However, if it's halacha of pshia, like a shomachinam, the shomachinam is chiyuv of pshia, is not mitzad shomer, it's because he's a mazik. So any mazik has to pay. This formulation can actually have a real nafkamina, and it's actually apparently a big machlokas mishonim. How do you understand the chiyuv pshia of a shomachinam? L'mashal. There are cases that are nismayit. And here we have one of them. It's an akum, right? Nismayit from chiyuv shmira. The Mishnah Bamitzia talks about it. Again, this is in Siman Shin Aleph in Choshen Mishpat that the Mishnah Berurah referenced. But you have a Rambam in Hilchos Shechiras, Perek Beis. So, l'mashal, karka avadim mushtaros are nisnayit from the chiyuvim of shomrim, as well as other miyutim, shall hegdish, shall goy, lashon Rambam, beginning of Perek Beis of Schirus, shlosha dinim hamurim batora, ba'arba hashomrim, these three standards that we know, shal machinam, shal mesachar, and shoel, einon elo b'metaltalin, shall Yisrael, b'shal hegyot. Has to be metaltalin, not karka. It has to be shal Yisrael, not akum. It has to be a hedyot, not hegdish. Shenemar kesef o kelim. The psukim talk about giving over kesef o kelim. B'cho behema. Yatsu karkaos. That excludes karka. V'yatsu avadim shuksu karkaos. Avadim like karka. V'yatsu ashtaros she'en gufan mamon. It's not gufan, not inherently worth money. Shenemar v'nemar kitin ish el re'ehu. Yatsa hegdish v'nechse goyim. So we have many cases, whether it's mitzad the object, whether mitzad who it is that's giving it over, mikan amur chachamim, that these things are excluded. Ha'avadim, v'ashtaros, v'akarkos, v'hagdeshos, shomer chinam shalehen eino nishba. There's no din of a shomer chinam being nishba and being pater, no si sachar or socher, eino mishalim, no chiv of the shomer sachar or the socher. Then the Rambam writes the following chidush in Halacha Gimel, Perek Beis Halacha Gimel. Yivra Eli is the Rambam's chidush. She'im pasha hashomer ba'avadim ve'kayotzi behen. If the shomer is posheya, whatever level shomer, in a shmira of avadim, he was given avadim for safekeeping, he was posheya, chayiv l'shalem. How come he has to pay? He's nismayit, avadim nismayit from Parsha Shomrim. Says the Rambam, she'eno pater ba'avadim v'karkos u'shtaros ela midin hagneva v'ho'aveda v'hamisa v'kayotze behen. If what occurred was gneva, aveda, or misa, those chiyuvim that would come in those cases, shimhaya shamachinam al metaltalin v'nignevo al avdu yishava. If it was a case of metaltalin, the shomachim have to swear that it didn't happen, it happened ba'ones, or it happened that it was stolen, he has to swear that that's what happened, he's off the hook. So what would normally be required of the shomachim in a case of gneva vega, namely a shvua, wouldn't be required by avadim. V'cheinim ha'yo shomachar, shemishalim b'gneva vega, v'metaltalin, partim v'shalim b'elu. In other words, whatever responsibility would exist for the Shemachinam to swear Bagneva Veda, for the Shemesachar to have to pay, wouldn't apply by something other than Metaltalin, by Avadim Mushtaros. Avol in Pasha, says the Rambam, but if he's Poshea, Chayiv L'Shalem, Shekoa Poshea, Maziku. That doesn't get excluded. A mazik is a mazik is a mazik. Who cares whether it fits the standard, the profile of a shomer chinam mitzvah the hilchos shomrim? Poshe is a mazik. Kol poshe a mazik hu the ein hefrish. Bein din hamazik karka, v'din hamazik metaltelin. A person is mazik karka, he has to pay like he's mazik metaltelin. Karka is the smite from Pasha Shomrin. No, but a mazik is chayef for karka as well. V'din emesu le'mevinim ubo ro'i ladun. This is Shitas HaRambam. Many argue on the Rambam. Tosis and Bamitzia seems to think that not this way. L'chor, it's a big shayla, it's a big machlokas, whether this is in fact correct, that the halacha, that what is excluded from Parsha Shomrim would not extend to the liability of a Shomer Chinam for Pshia. L'chor, what's the machlokas about? In other words, is the halacha of a Shomer Chinam who's poshea, that has to pay, is that part of Parsha Shomrim? So whatever is excluded from Parsha Shomrim is not going to apply here as well. It's not by definition a mazik. It's a special din. The Torah says, just like the Torah says, Hashem Asachar is chayiv for Gneva Veda, so the chiv Shomrim is what's mechayiv him. So the pshia of Hashem Achinam is not by definition a mazik in Hilchas Mazik, a makke behema yishalmen on the parsha of mazik mamun chavero. It's a halach of chiyuv eshomrim. So the chiyuv of Hashem Achinam, mitzad shomer, is why he has to pay for if he's poshea in this thing that was given to him. So memelo, whatever is excluded from parsha shomrim, wouldn't apply for pshia either. Or should we say what the Rambam is saying, what the Ne'iri and the Mam Chalav are saying over here, we'll come back to our Gemara, is that no, the chiyuv of Poshea by Shemachinam is a whole halacha of Parshas Mazik. And therefore, the Parshas Mazik would not be excluded from the whatever the smite from Parshas Shomrim. The fact is, you're still a Mazik. Memela, this seems to be the issue over here. In other words, would you call this an achrayis as a shomer to be considered kidilchon when you take only on the achrayus of a shomachina? If the liability is mitzad, the fact that you're a shomer, then you don't have to be kidilchon for every halacha. As long as there's some halacha that you are assuming to be the bailam, you're going to be assumed to be the bailam, it's on you, that because you're a shomer, you take on the loss is your loss because you're a shomer. That's a kidilchon dami. So you don't need to be a Shomer Sachar equivalent, you can be a Shomer Chinam. But if the halacha of paying for pshia is a halacha that you're a mazik, so then that doesn't make this kidilchon. The fact that if I can mazik your chayfetz, I have to pay, doesn't make your chayfetz quasi mine. It's your chayfetz, and if I'm mazik your chayfetz, I have to pay for it. But it has to be because of the shmira that brings with it the chiyuv of pshia mitzad shomrim. Seems to be a little bit what's going on here. The emesis, this chakira is itself has to be probed and developed further. Exactly what does it mean to say he's a mazik? Does the mazik halacha have nothing to do with the fact that he's a shomer? Obviously, the context of his being poshea as a shomer has to do with the fact that that's why he is a mazik. It's not stam, but it's not enough to exclude him from the exclusion of karka and shtaris and so on. Obviously, there are more nuances than what we're making here, but the basic approach seems to be this machlokes. So the shita that holds that your chayiv amshia pashtus is because he holds that the chayiv pshia is also connected to the parsha of shomrim, and therefore they would hold, not like the Rambam, that the exclusion generally would actually hold over here as well. The only question one can ask is here we're talking about a goy. So wait a second. If a guy is excluded from Shomrim anyway, so then how do we get out of our problem? Then anyway, but the answer is obviously you're makabel some kind of a shmira here, and there was a kinyan. So now you're to the extent that you're makabel it, there is now some status of a shomer that has been superimposed on the case. Yeah. So then you have to go back to the parsha Shomrim based on the fact that you are officially put into Parshas Shom because of your kinyan. But if Shia would generally not have anything to do with Parshas Shomim, then whatever you brought into the mix artificially is not going to change the fact that you're anyway a Mazik anyway, in which case it's not considered like yours based on the Shia because you're a Mazik regardless. Okay, any questions so far? This could be a bit of a way of Mahalach understanding the issue of a Shia. Yeah, questions? It's good? It's clear? Yeah, no one's sending anything in the chat either. So, okay. There's another shita coming up. This is even more mechudash. This really requires more hesber. But let's see what the Rush does. Many, we already saw, you know, David, Mr. Yisorat, asks on the Rambam, as does Maram Chalava. What does the Rambam say? And where does he get it? Continues the Rush. After quoting the Machlokas about Pshia versus Neva Veda, what Achrayus is required, brings the Rambam. The Rambam says, the Rambam Zal, Kasab, this is in Perek Dalach Adalit, Sheima Nachri Alam, Alam means a very strong fellow, tough person, the Kofeyu Shalem, and this non-Jew will pressure the Jew to have to pay for the loss, Afal pi shelo kibel olav achrayis kedidei dami v'aser. Very interesting shita. The Rambam says, we just talked about achrayis and what level achrayis is required. Shomachinam, shomachar. We mentioned the third shita, even onsen. And now the Rush, after bringing the two shitas of shomachinam or shomachar, says, and the Rambam says, even if there's no kibel of achrayis, but the Nachri is such that he will make sure that you have to pay him for whatever occurs, that's enough to say kidilchon dami, and therefore you're chayv, you're violated by Rai Matze. Where did the Rambam get this from? Obviously the answer is the Rambam got it from the story in the Gemara. How did the Rambam understand the Gemara story of Rava and B'nai Mechuzah? So the Rambam obviously understood. Let's just read the Rambam because the rest didn't quote the whole Lashon Rambam, the Milulo. The Rambam is interesting because in Halacha Gimel, the previous Halacha in the Rambam, what does it sound like in the Rambam when you talk about standard Achrayis? What level Achrayis does the Rambam require? Those who saw Halacha Gimel, what does the Rambam seem to say? Anyone remember? In a classic case, not this new case of a tough mafkid who is a non-Jew who's alam, a regular case of a goy shehifkid chemsel etzel Yisrael. What's the level of achrayis the Rambam says over there? Nobody?
Neva
Veda, excellent. Interesting. So that lines up with the shita of the Ri that the Rush quoted. Goy shehifkid chemsel etzel Yisrael kibob Yisrael achrayis shem avar o nignav so the Rama clearly embraces the halacha of Kabbalah Achrayis, making it kishelo, and for the Rambam that Kabbalah Achrayis means, it means Shalme Sachar, and that goes well, lines up with the other Rambam that we mentioned just before in Hilchos Chiras, right? Because the Achrayis for Pshia is not called Achrayis. Because Achrayis of Pshia is Midin Mazik. It works well with Lishitaso from the other Rambam that we just spoke at. That's the general halacha of Achrayis. Ho v'kibbo b'Achrayis nasa kishalo. Halacha Dalid comes the Rambam with something new that the Rush just quoted. Goy Anas. Anas means a gangster. Shehifkit chemso etzo Yisrael. In yodea Yisraeli. Shem Avad Onignav. Again, it's talking about Avad Onignav. But what is it that Yisrael knows? He knows that if it gets lost or stolen, Mechaivo Leshalmo, the Kofehu, the Onso Leshalim, the Yisrael Hanifkad knows that he can't avoid the fact that if it's Nignav Onevad, this guy will force him to pay. There's a chiyuv biur, So the Rambam took the Gemara of Chiva Achrayis a step further. And again, how did the Rambam read the Gemara? The Rambam saw that the story of Rava is not just echoing what the Gemara says a line earlier, the halacha of Chiva Achrayis per se, but the story of Rava B'nai Machuza is actually taking it to another level. In other words, Pashat the Mokar of the Rambam in the Gemara. The Gemara first says, "Ah, you told me Shalchaya Taroa. How can you say Yechayev on Kabbalah? How can you say Yechayev on Shel Pikolas Shel Nachman?" Says the Gemara, "Lo Kasha. Had the Kabbalah Achrayis. Had the Lo Kabbalah Achrayis. That's the halacha of Kabbalah Achrayis in a normal way. Your Kabbalah Achrayis for the Rambam means Gnevi Aveda." Says the Gemara, "Ki ha the Amar Lohu Rava Lebnei Mechuza." What the Gemara is doing with Rava is saying that by Rava you see that even without Kabbalah Sachrayis, but if the non-Jew is a tough person who's going to forcibly make you pay for Gneva Veda, so that's Kidul Chondami. So obviously, if you willingly take on that Achrayis, that's also going to make you Kidul Chon. Because Rav is saying, even if it's not with a formal willing Kabbalah Achrayis, but just the fact that that's the Metzius of the situation. So it comes out, Rav is not just echoing what we said before, it's another application of it in a very different context. The Rambam understood it wasn't actually a real Kabbalah Achrayis. This is the Rambam. And this Rambam is very, very hard to understand. What kind of kidilchon dami is it? Kidilchon dami is, Gemara connects it to Garim L'mamon, right? Everything is connected. Rava's story is also part of that same mechanism of Garim L'mamon. Garim L'mamon, if it's treated, the halachic status of kidilchon, that there's a real liability, that there is a chiyuv. The fact that there's going to be pressure imposed on you to have to pay, it's artificial. It's the guy is going to do that to you. But the Rambam counts that as enough to be called lo yimatzeh. That's what you see in the Rambam. The chidush gadol, no? This is what they all ask. The Ravid asks in other directions.
Could Rebbe say again, why is it so much more of a chidush in the way we were understanding it before?
Yeah, Elior. Good to see you. Okay, you didn't see it before. So, the idea of lo yimatzeh, that it's considered like yours, is because there is a halachic status that the chametz could become the one to suffer the loss because halachically you're liable. In other words, the way we are masbir, the entire sugya, it's because the loss that will result will be on you, that you will assume the liability. That sounds like it's a legal issue, and that's the kidul chondami. For the Rambam, it's not legally that a response. It's not a legal response. It's just that, mitzvah-wise, that's what's going to happen. The Rambam says, that's the same thing. L'mashal, the Taz has a kasha. Taz asks, in our siman here in Tough Men, the Gemara says, two Lashonos, how this works with the Machokis of Shimon and Rabban by Gorim L'mamu, right? So first the Gemara says, Hanich Yod Gomon K'mamun Dami, then I understand this halacha. If you're like the Rabban, Rav K'mamun Dami, how come it's true? The Gemara says, Shaini Hachalo Yimatse. Good. Then the Gemara goes another Lashon. Hanich Av Yehod, Rav K'mamun Dami, I need Lo Yimatse, because otherwise it wouldn't be viewed as yours. But if you hold what? That kimamundami, like Rav Shimon, lo yimatzei lamali. Sigmar has a whole teretz, because here it's hadra be'enei. Fek the Taz, I have a simple teretz. Because even if I hold kimamundami everywhere else, but this is more, this is a bigger chiddush. Because here you see in Rava that even if it's not halachically going to be under your name, that the loss is incurred by you. It's just because of the metzius of the relationship of this person, what he's going to force you to do, that's also considered to be a violation. So that's why you need lo yimatzeh. The Gemara should use the Rambam's chidush and use that as a teretz to the kasha. Why does he have to say a whole new vart that it's because it's hadra be'enei? In fact, the Gemara should say, because of the svar of the Rambam. The Rambam is a chidush. According to Rambam, Rava's halacha, it goes beyond what we had before. Yeah, and then all the Rishonim ask is Maram Chalava, we'll go back and read it again. When we first, we skipped over it before, the Maram Chalava quotes right on the beginning of the Gemara, on Rabbi's story, he brings the Rambam, and he asks on the Rambam, Perish HaRambam Zal, on the story of Rava, Shalim Afkidim Chemsam Etzlam, this is the Enignav Onevat, how you own Sin Oso Lishalim, he brings the Raheshav of Harai, the Tashlumim in her own sin, Enon Tashlumim. Tashlumim in her own sin, Enon Tashlumim. The Rabbi has more here. He says he connects it to the Gemara later, in a later parak, with the also mentions there about the Chametz of Bnei Chela. All right. What is the Pshat of Rava according to the other Rishonim? They don't see Rava as saying anything more than what we said before. So what's the Pshat in Rava? Says the Maram Chalava. And the other is Shogin. David, others, he says that Hachi Pirusha, Hey Mafkidim Chemtzam Etzlam B'Stam, they leave their chametz by the Jews in Mechuza. But Din HaMelech, Shemnignav Olavad B'Shusam, it's a Chok HaMedina. So this becomes now the understanding. It's that's the Kabbalah Sachreis. It's like a will in Kabbalah Sachreis. Everyone submits to the law of the land. That's the legal law of the land. That's now the binding law. The Kamarava that Afagav to Pikad Koechadisa Bishusa the Marise Kim the Ika Khadashaita, that's the word of the Mamchalav, Ika Khadashaita, the Kabishuse, Kinidami, and so on. Hilka, the Hani Niksha Kibala Bachrais Mefureshes. So you need a real Kabbalah Sachrais. The Hokach Avdi Hamelech that stayed the base Israel, Mechuke Hamelech, Hulishalem, Haneva, the Besam, Osuitem Chanoya. So that's the point, because of this becomes the halach. So this is the Shita Sarambam, requires obviously more Hezber, but this is what the Rush quotes. The Rush, interestingly, doesn't really argue. He just quotes it as a Shita. Okay, all of this is part one of the Rush, right? This is part one of the Rush, Benagei Argamar.
So, Rabbi?
Yeah, question. Yeah.
So the Maram Chalava is saying that the difference between a chok from the Melech is that it's not necessarily forcefully, like it's not onis. It's
right. Everyone knows the terms. Everyone knows the law. Everyone more or less surrenders himself to that understanding, willingly, consensually. That's the mele. That's the achrayis. That's the equivalent of a kabbalah achrayis. Yeah. Anyone else? Okay, let's do the second part of the Rush.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Did Rabbi mention the answer of the Taz's Kasha about why the...
So if you want more on this, you can look in the Yad Ephraim. I don't think the Taz answers it. If I'm not mistaken, the Taz does not answer it. I certainly didn't mention the Taz. There's a Yad Ephraim. My friend Margolius has a long piece here in Siman Tav Mem. He tries to give answers for the Taz. I don't recall anymore his answer. You can look it up. Feel free to do that. But it's, no, you have to know. The approach would be that the Rambam's svara is, at the end of the day, not that much of a chiddush. For us, I mean, it may indicate that there's a different pshat in the Gemara in what it means, kiddushon dami. That could be one way to think about it. Or, and this is again suggesting a possibility, that even if it's not a legal reality, but it's a practical reality that you'll have to pay, and everybody knows that that's what's going to happen, that itself is kiddul chon dami. You know, that's another way to think about the Rambam. We can still try to plug in our approach that we gave for the Gorim Lamamon over here, but we'll just have to extend it and say, even if it's not halachically such, it's just the fact that practically as such. But you see, it's going to be a little tricky, because why wouldn't achrayus apshia be enough in a normal case? If you say that, then why don't you say that being mazik and being chayiv to pay because of a mazik is also kidilchon? Obviously, the Rambam himself didn't say that. The Rambam said that normal achrayus requires gnev aveda. And we explained, because if you're chayiv as a mazik, that's nothing to do with this issue that it's kidilchon. You have to pay as a mazik. Okay, but you might say you'll have to pay as a mazik. Okay, you could be machalik between that and the case over here. I think there's room to be machalik. It's interesting that the, I think you're reminding me, the Hassan Sofer, I think it's a chidushim over here. Maybe he relates to the Taz's Kasha. Let me see if I can remind myself. Chidush Hassan Sofer, here it is. I read it from the Hassan Sofer. It's interesting. He quotes the Taz. And he doesn't understand the Taz's Kasha. So listen to the Hassan Sofer. Harambam Mefarish Lei, the story of Rava. Harambam Mefarish Lei, Shalim Menasim, Ibn Echel, Rishalim, Inigna, Benevad. Listen to his suggestion. He says, why does the Rambam want to learn that way, that was the case of Rava? Ulai, Svira Lei, Harambam. De Le Kabbalah Sachrayis Mamish. If it was real Kabbalah Sachrayis, Lo Tzarech Lo Yimatse. You wouldn't need a lo yimatzeh for that. The memela lo having matina milacha. I know that wouldn't be excluded from milacha if you're mekabel achrayis. Ela below kabbalas achrayis dumi de gavoa. Umelo yimatzeh marbinan lesa afil ki hay gavne shelo kibbal achrayis ela baonis. And therefore, the Gemara's kasha later, Laman dam agarim lamaman kamaman dam ilo yimatsi lamali, lavi matsi lishnuye anas itzfrich v'chenik sha'ataz, v'lo yadati maiko kasha lei, the Laman da omar, hagarim lamaman kamaman dami, hai nami gorim hu, upshita dechayif ki hai gavna. So what's the real zug of the Hassan Sofer? This last line. The Hassan Sofer feels that garim lamaman it is. It's only because of a pressure that's going to be imposed on you by the mafkit. Gorm l'mamon it is. The Chassam Sofer doesn't feel that the fact that it's not going to be with a Kabbalah Sachrayas should take away from the gorm l'mamon. Gorm l'mamon, it's the same gorm l'mamon if it's going to come because of the pressure of the person as if it would be with your willing a Kabbalah Sachrayas. Again, I think by Pshia might be different. But this is the Chassam Sofer, so he doesn't understand the kash of the Taz. Garm one moment it is, nevertheless. You can also look at the Yad Ephraim and see what he says on this. I want to go on to part two of the Rush. Now, at first glance, we should be asking ourselves when we read this part of the Rush, what is this doing here? What is this? A lot of the issues that are coming up in the Rush right now, in the second part of the Rush, seemingly are related to the later sugya, and we're for sure going to have to deal with it in the later Gemara of Yichud Lobayis. And we had a little bit of a introduction to it when we saw Socher Umaskir. And this is from the following perspective. Someone who has chametz that's not in their possession, but it's technically owned by them. Does the owner of the chametz always violate by Rabbi Imatze? Now, what do we know about the Braisa that we saw in Hermit Base? We were marbe, not just bivatechem, we were marbe from the pasuk b'chol gvulecha, that even if it's boros shichin umairos. Now, those boros shichin umairos are presumably owned by the Baal HaChametz. It's just not his house, it's a storage area somewhere out in the field, right? So that's clear. You don't have, it doesn't mean you're home. But let's say it's my chametz and it's somewhere else, and the somewhere else is not technically owned by me. Let's say it's the Yad Nachri. Let's say it's the Yad Yisrael Acher. What exactly was that person doing with it? Were they Mekabel Achrayis? Were they not? So these are some of the issues that are going to have to be working out later on in the Gemara, but the Rush, for some reason, brings it in now, and that's apparently because the issue of Kabbalah Sachrayis that we've been discussing now vis-a-vis the Chiv of the Nifkad, the Rush is wondering whether that halacha would also impact on removing the Chiv from the Mafkid. And the Rush brings a couple of shittas on this. So let's see. From at least from the more limited vantage point that we're in right now, that the Rush is discussing this issue from a certain angle not the full angle that's going to come later, but at least from the perspective of our sugya, that Kabbalas Achrayas has consequences. We understand it has consequences for the Nifgad to be Mechuyev and Bayi Bayi Matzei. The Rush has entertained the possibility that it can have consequences to take away the Bayi Rabbayi Matzei of the Mafkid, and he works off of a Mechilta. And this Mechilta also has to be analyzed very, very carefully. So we're not getting the full picture now, but we're getting at least a small slice of the picture. So part two of the Rush. Continues the Rush. After quoting the Ramban. Everyone have it? Holding with me, yeah? Yesh min ha-ga'onim she'amru. There are some shitas that say the following. Yisrael she'ifkid chemso eitzo nachri. So a Jew deposits his chametz in the hands of a non-Jew. O eitzo Yisrael chavero. Or he deposits the chametz by another Jew. The kibel hanifkat olav achrayis. What's significant factor in the story? The nifkad, the shomer, be it the guy or the other Jew, is mekabel achrayis. So then the din is hanifkad chayiv bebiuro, velo hamafkid. Says the gaon, these gaonim hold the nifkad is chayiv bebiuro. That would be the case of Yisrael, obviously. By Igoi, it's not Negea. But what is critical in both cases is the next two lines, the words, the Lo HaMafkid. The Mafkid is not responsible to burn it. It's not a Bayirah Midoraisa. Afo Pi Shehu Shelo, Kevan She'eno Bershusa. So the Gaonim are saying that if Yisrael, who owns Chametz, it's his, he's the Bailin, gives it over to someone else who's Mekabel Achrayis, that means that the Yisrael HaMafkid is non-violation because it's not Bishuso. Notice, if it wasn't Beachrayis, the Rush didn't say that. And the Gaon, I mean, the Rush didn't quote such a sheet. The Rush is discussing the case that was given over and the Nifka was Mekabel Achrayis. What level achrayis are we discussing? Shamachinam, shamasachar, what level achrayis? The silence of the Rush would leave us to conclude that what is the level achrayis? Seemingly, what's the level achrayis? Identical to before. Right? The level achrayis, whatever it would be in terms of making the nifkad, if he were Yisrael, Chayiv on Chemso Shal Acher, Chemso Shal Nachri. If you hold Shomachinam suffices like the Bahag, then that's the Achrayis we're dealing with over here. If you hold, you mean Achrayis of Shomasachar can make it Kidil Chondami to be make it your Chayiv, then that's the Achrayis over here as well. In other words, the issue of Kabbalah Achrayis, whatever that is, whatever the standard is, Binogea our Sugya, that's why the Rush is bringing it over here. Otherwise, there's no Shaykhis Argamar. So whatever he discussed earlier, whatever the standard is of Christ, could make it kedil chondami, what the Rush is now entertaining from this shita is that the kedil chondami of the shomer is actually doing what? Not just a basis by a case of Yisrael, by Chemso Shonachri, as a basis to mechayev the Yisrael, by Yerayim Matzei, our sugya, but in the case here of the nifka b'mekabel achrayis, be it a Jew or a non-Jew, the kidulchon dami is actually going to mean that the mafkid is not violating it. It's called not birshusa. What does the not birshusa have to do with the kabbalah sachrayis of the nifka? If it's not birshusa, then it should be no matter what. It's not birshusa, it's birshusa somebody else. What's going on? But the Rush is obviously, it's relevant to the sugya of our Gemara. Otherwise, the Rush wouldn't be speaking right now about it. So, the critical factor in this discussion is the fact that there was a Kabbalah Sachrayis. This is the angle that the Rush is focusing on for this discussion. There may be other angles. Stan, I have chametz that's not in my Rishus. I have chametz in Rishus HaRabim. I own it. I wasn't mafkirit. I have chametz in some... No, the issue is it's Kabbalah Sachrayis. says the Rush, according to the Shita, the Nifkar is Chayiv and the Mafkin is not. Ain't a Bishusa. What's the Raya? The Avi Raya mi Mechilta. The Tani Asa, the Mechilta says, Bibatechem Lamanamar. It says Bibatechem. Lefishnem Bechog Vulecha. It says another Pasik Bechog Vulecha. Shamea Nikipshuta. It sounds like Chog Vulecha, literally. It doesn't, Batechem doesn't limit it at all. Tamalom Batechem. No. You need something similar to Batechem. Ma Beischa Bishuscha. Af Bucha Bishuscha. The Mechilta has a new drasha that we don't have quoted in our Gemara. That Beischa is limiting the chidush of gvulcha. Namely, you need what's called bishuscha. Beischa is bishuscha, so gvulcha is only going to make you chayev if it's bishuscha. What does that come to exclude? Yatsa, chemtzo shel nachi bishus Yisrael, shu beveso ve'en yachal levaro. This is chor not clear why this is connected to the drasha. That's an exclusion because it's not lecha, right? That's hard to know what that's doing here, but let's leave that. And also yatsa chemso shel Yisrael b'shus hanachri. This is lechora more shaykh to what the drash is about, right? The second case yatsa chemso shel Yisrael b'shus hanachri shu shelo ve'en b'shusa. So what is the mechilta excluding? Chemso shel Yisrael b'shus hanachri. That's shelo and not b'shusa. So the mechilta is bringing in a new factor that it's not enough to be shelo. It has to be b'shusa, learnt out of the word b'vateichem, ma beso b'shuscha, ma beso b'shuscha, avrucha b'shuscha. Therefore, chemso shel Yisrael b'shus hanachri is not b'shusa, quote unquote. Rabosai, Tzarachirin. But the Mechilta doesn't talk about Achrais. The Mechilta says, Chemso she Yisrael b'shus hanachri. What did the Rosh discuss? When the Nitzka is Mekabel Achrais, what does that have to do with it? If you want to be Mamayit, Chemso she Yisrael b'shus hanachri, then be Mamayit because it's not b'shuscha. Apparently, the issue of not being b'shuscha is predicated on the fact that the Nifkad was Mekabel Achrais. That seems to be what's happening. Let's just finish the Rosh and try to say something more. Rabbeinu Yonah, Zal, Haya Omer, he didn't agree. He said, "De'olam b'shus ha'mafkid hu, v'chayv levaro min ha'Torah." He says, no, this case of Chemtzo Yisrael b'shus ha'nachri, v'kibel nachri olav achrais, the Yisrael is violating by Raimatse because it's called Bishus HaMafkid. Kidamina b'perek meruba, v'guna mideis ha'ish v'lo mideis hegdish. Kach matzasi b'seir b'shem Rabbeinu Yonah. There's a gemara meruba, that there's a miut, v'guna mideis ha'ish v'lo mideis hegdish. So what does that have to do with anything? Kach matzasi. The lo hevanti rayaso. So the Rosh himself says, I don't know what he's trying to bring. What's the raya? What is he bringing from that gemara? The gam lo kasav lefarish had the mechota sheviim men a raya. So Rabbeinu Yonah says the mafkid is violating by Rabbi Matse. He brings a raya that the Rosh doesn't understand, and he doesn't address the consideration raised by the mechilta. But what do you mean? It's not b'shuso. It's not b'shuso of the Yisrael, how can you violate? So the Rosh therefore says, I agree with Rabbeinu Yonah Ladina, but I'm going to stick to the point, so to speak. Says the Rosh, the nearly the Dava Pashatu. It's Pashat, he says, the Afal Pisha Nifkad Kibbal of Achrayis. Here he comes back to the case that we started. Even though the Nifkad is Mekabal Achrayis, Mikol Makom Iker HaMamon Shel HaBailam. The money, the Chametz belongs to the Bailam, belongs to him. The Kevin says, Ilo Hanifkad Beso Ishmiras Mamono, since the Nifkad lets him have a place in his house to guard this Chametz, Karina Bebeso. So even though the Nifkad was Mekabel Achrayis, but it's there for him. He has a place in the Nifkad's house. So therefore, says the Rosh, Rabbeinu Yonah is correct. Rabbeinu Yonah had a raya I don't understand, and he didn't address the mechilta. And I tell you, he's right, because it's called Rishus of the who? Whose Rishus is it? Says the Rush, whose Rishus is it in? Whose Rishus? The Rishus of the Mafkid. It's a whole different story that relates to that case. But Lamaisa, the case that we're discussing of Yisrael who deposited chametz biyad Nachri, the Nachri's mekabel achrayis, but the mafkid has a place in the Nachri's house where it's situated. That's called beso, that's called reshuso, that doesn't fail the test of the mechilta, and therefore, not like the Gaonim, the mafkin is violated by Yemoy Matzah. So what's pshat, first of all, in the Gaonim? What's pshat in the Rush? How does Kabbalah Sachrayis make the difference, potentially, that it shouldn't be called Rishuso? What was Rabbeinu Yonah's raya that the Rush didn't understand? What's underneath all of this? And again, much more to come in terms of these types of situations, but just understand a little bit pshat in the Rush. So, l'chayra, the issue in the Rush seems to be the following, seemingly. That halacha of Kabbalah Sachrayis, because this is our discussion, that's our sugya, that's what the Rush is bringing it in. Kabbalah Sachrayis says the Gemara, kidochon dami. Kabbalah Sachrayis, whatever the standard you're going to say it is, makes it viewed as if it's by the shomer. He has a stake in it, right? He has a stake. He has a mamonis. He has a gorim with mamon that's considered to be kimamona. That's why a Yisrael that's mekabel achrayis on a goyis chametz would have a bayir bayimatzeh. That's the lo yimatzeh v'agamah. Now we're discussing a different opposite case. A Yisrael gave the chametz to a nachri. The nachri's mekabel achrayis, or even another Yisrael could be as well, right? For now, it's both cases. But let's say Nachri. The Gaonim are saying that this would be excluded from the Mechilta. Mechilta learns out that you need to be like Bateichem. It has to be Birshusa. The Rush ultimately comes back and says, the Shomer has it. He has a place. The place is for me. The Shomer's holding it for the Bailim. So it is Rishusa. Why was it a discussion to begin with? Because there was Kabbalah Sachrayis. Were there no Kabbalah Sachrayis? If the Shomer was not the Kabbalah Sachrayis, no one would say that the mafkid, at least from this perspective, I'm not our Rush, no one would say that the mafkid isn't over. Why? The answer seems to be, because if it's by the shomer is holding it for the bailer. So it's called Bishus of the bailer. The Gaonim agree with the Rush. Mismara. The fact that it's right, it's in the bias of the shomer is not called Bishus of the bailer. The shomer is holding it for the bailer. He's a makom for the bailam, and he has nothing in it for himself. If the shomer has nothing in it for himself, then his holding it is for the bailam. So it's b'shus of the bailam. So of course it's bayira. The mafkid gets bayira. Why is it different now? Because if the shomer has something that you can say it's his for that, so that halacha that Achrayis gives the Shomer a certain quasi-bailus in this pikadon. So in that regard, you can say the Shomer has it for himself too. It's not just the Shomer holding it for the bailer. The Shomer has it for himself. The Shomer has something in it. If the Shomer has something in it, then you no longer can assume so simply that it's Bishus of the bailer. The Shomer has it for himself. Were there no achrayis, no one would say that the mafkid isn't over, because of course the shomer is holding it, it's the bailam's holding it. But if the shomer has some stake in it himself, then the gaonim will say that goes into the mirror of the mechilta. What the Rush comes back and says is no, because even though there was a kabbalah achrayis, but the fact is there was a shelas makom. It was there. It's miuchet for me. Your kabbalas achrayis doesn't mean you're not holding it for me. Your makabel achrayis, fine. But you're holding it for me. That's between the Rosh and the Gaonim. What did Rabbeinu Yonah say in the middle of this? I think Rabbeinu Yonah, and this is going to be coming more, we'll have to see later, Sheet of the Tosis read about this. Rabbeinu Yonah may have understood the Inyan of Birshuso in the Mechilta differently than the Rosh and the Gaonim. The Gaonim and the Rosh will both have something in common. The Mechilta requires Birshuso. Birshuso means in the physical rishus of the person whose chametz you're going to violate, he's going to violate by your matzah. So the rush has to come on to the fact that it's physically in his rishus. It's in a different person's house, but he's a shomer for me, and the place is designated for me. So that's mine. It's my rishus. The Rina Yonah might be assuming rishus means his control, his shirita. What's the halacha? If I have a pikadon biyada shomer, if I want to be magdish it, do I have full rights to be magdish it? He's not a gazlan. Someone steals something from me, the gazlan can't be magdish it because it's not his, and the nixar can't be magdish it because he was control. It's not birshuso, quote unquote. If I leave a pikadon biyada shomer, do I have full rights, total control to sell it to somebody to be magdish it? Absolutely. That's birshuso. The Rabbeinu Yonah says, what's my raya? That being biyad hashomer is considered birshuso. Because we have a miut, viguna mibeis ha'ish. What did we exclude from that? From chiyuv kefel? If you steal mibeis hegdish, what if you steal an object that the person who owns it gave it to a shomer and you stole it from the shomer's possession? Do you have to pay kefel to the bialin? Let's say he's a shomer chinam, he's part of him gnei b'aveda, right? But does the ganav have to pay kefil for the theft? Mibeis hashomer? What's the halacha, no? If you steal something from a shomer's possession, but it belongs to someone else, is there any miut from kefil? No, of course you have to pay. It says mibeis ha'ish. So, you see, you're not mimayit mibeis shomer, you're only mimayit mibeis hegdish. So why is that? That means that because it's considered to be the Bailam's. The Bailam has control over it. Therefore, the Rabbeinu Yonah had a raya, and I think the Rabbeinu Yonah probably assumes that Birshuso means as long as the Bailam can do what he wants with it. We'll have to see more about that. But that's what this Rush is discussing. It's a whole new angle to this issue of the Nifkad's Kabbalas Achrayis, not just vis-a-vis the Nifkad himself, but the potential for the what? For the mafkid to lose his bayir by much. And I think the issue has to do with this mechilta and the definition of birshuso, which could be affected by the nifkar holding it for himself because of the din of kabbalas achrayis. I just want to end, there's so much in this inyan of kabbalas achrayis. I just want to show you, there's a Shagas Aryeh, has a whole discussion in Simon Ayin Zion about the following question. Rabosai, I'll ask you, what do you think, based on what you know so far? The little that we all know, right? We know there's a din called bitul chametz, right? Bitul chametz, tashbisu, hefker, whatever you want to say about bitul chametz, how it works. There's a din of Yisrael, who has chametz in his mishus, that's owned by the guy, but Yisrael's mekabel achrayis. What's the din? The Yisrael violates by Yibay Matzei, that's the ribo yivar sugya, right? Kibul of achrayis, Yisrael has by mercy. Can this Yisrael do bittul on the chametz to get around by mercy? Instead of having to destroy it, can he do bittul? Does bittul work?
Didn't we see that you can't be mivatel something that doesn't belong to you?
The Sugi says later that once it's not yours, it's not your reshus, it can't be, it can't have bittul, right? 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 So, okay. But here there's halacha kidulchon dami. There's a deras hakotzer below you might say that the Torah puts it, right? Makes it your reshus for bayir on yimatzeh. Could that be enough to do a bittul?
I think we saw in a Rabbeinu David that you needed both Rishus and to own it.
No, so the Rabbeinu David that you're referring to goes back to the Rush that we just discussed now. At the end, the Rabbeinu David says midaraisa, so you need to have by your right, it has to be in your Rishus, and it has to be right, it has to be owned by you. That speaks to the discussion that we had in the Rush that we just left right now, that it has to be in your Rishus physically and also owned by you. I'm asking you this halacha that you vary by my matzah, if you have Goyis chametz in your Rishus in Mekabel Achrayis, could you do bittul on such chametz? The assumption of the Shagas Arya there is not, and he has many rais, and many disagree with his rais, but one of his rais is, how could you ever have a losishcha to chametz dam zivchi and get malchus for it? Maybe you're mevatel the chametz, and then how can you know to give him malchus? You have to find a case that there's chametz that mitu doesn't work on. The only case you can think of is this case. So the Torah's case of losishcha that gets malchus will be a chametz shekibel av achrayis. But he works his cheshbonos out, maybe because it's not yours to do bittul on. And he says, yeah, he discusses this issue. He has an interesting discussion. According to Rav Shimon, garim l'mamon k'mamon dami. According to Rav Shimon, chametz after Pesach is mutar bahana. Every chametz on Pesach should be garim l'mamon. And you know you can't do bittul. Once you get to sixth hour, you can't do bittul, right? Well, why not? There's a garim l'mamon. The answer is garim l'mamon is not good enough for bittul. So if garim l'mamon isn't good enough for bittul, then the din of kabbalas achrayis, which we said is predicated on what mechanism we discussed yesterday by Richus, the whole yisod of this halacha is a garim l'mamon halacha. But garim l'mamon, you see in Rav Shimon's picture, doesn't do it for you, because the Torah says you can't do bittul. The din is you can't do bittul after sheish shows. It's a garim l'mamon for after Pesach, so it should be considered yours. Anyway, these are the types of discussions that come up here in Siman Ayin Zayin. For tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem, we're going to go weiter, and after the next Gemara, we have to come back more to these inyanim that we see here with the Yichud Lobayis Gemara about Chemtzo Shel Nachri. Okay, any questions before we end? Good. Okay, everybody, have a wonderful day.